You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The press and the pundits had declared the campaign dead. And then came South Carolina, and they had something to say about it. And we're told, well, when he got to Super Tuesday, it'd be over. Well, it may be over for the other guy.
March the 4th, 2020, Biden from last night after Super Tuesday. Former Vice President Biden, bumbling Uncle Joe, looking strong last night, standing in front of the crowd. Yes, he did. He did misintroduce his wife and his sister different ways. I'm going to give the guy a slack here. Maybe one was supposed to come up on one side and one the other, and he got mixed up. I don't really care. You can debate all you want as if it's another indication that he's not quite there. But let's deal with the reality of what happened. He did collect the most delegates last night in Super Tuesday and has the most as we stand at this point. But that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything other than he's still in the race, very strong. Except it means one other thing for Michael Bloomberg. Because Bloomberg has decided to bail out. That's the first major reaction from Biden's showing last night. Here's what happened. Biden at 453 delegates. Bernie Sanders, 382. You need 1,991 delegates to clinch the Democrat nomination. So neither is at that number, or we're near it at this point. Elizabeth Warren, 50. Michael Bloomberg, for all the millions, and I mean half a billion dollars he spent, he's got a total of 44 delegates. He won two last night on Super Tuesday, winning American Samoa, for what that's worth. Buttigieg is already out. Amy Klobuchar is already out. He has 26. She has 7. Tulsi Gabbard, 1. The first major reaction for Joe Biden's strong showing yesterday does not mean he can run all the way to the White House, but it does mean this. It means that Bloomberg has decided to step aside. The reason Bloomberg got in originally, stop and think about it, was because he did not want socialists like Bernie Sanders to get control. He thought, I might be the only guy they can come in there and stop not only Bernie, but actually stop Donald Trump. Fearing that if Bernie continued unchecked, maybe he would win and beat Trump and turn us into a socialist country. And once you go down that road, you have a very hard time turning back. Look at any of the countries still locked in socialism, communism, dictatorship. So we have Bernie also, of course, shouting that he looked good last night. They can all claim something, and that's okay. They all claim something. But at some point, Bernie's going to have to make some decisions. And James Carville, former strategist for Bill Clinton, and of course also watching over this at this point, has made it clear that Bernie Sanders may soon face some backlash if he won't leave the 2020 race. In other words, if Bernie continues to stay in there and muck it up, he might be facing some other backlash. We'll get into that in more detail. We're also going to be joined by Dr. Gerard Lamero today as he gives us a better perspective on what he sees coming up. And the first thing we'll have to deal with is that his original delegate count coming off of Super Tuesday would not be Biden coming in on top. So I want to know if that shakes up any of the rest of his theories as to where we're going. I don't think it probably does, but let's get it direct from him a little bit later. Oh, and by the way, of course, the coronavirus continues to make news. You know how bad it's gotten for some? The practice of Islam itself being disrupted in the Middle East. Governments around the world, Saudi Arabia and so forth, banning foreigners from making the pilgrimage to Mecca, home of the holiest site in Islam. They don't want folks going nor coming back. Coronavirus. We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours for you. Lug and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer and can save you a lot of unnecessary fear. One client called frantic. A test sample for an indoor swimming pool showed evidence of Legionella bacteria. Well, that meant the entire pool would have to be drained, then washed with acid. But Wellington Environmental found the pool was safe. The test sample was a false positive. In another case, a homeowner said a buyer had just backed out of a closing. The building inspector claimed he had found evidence of mold in a closet. That could be scary. Could certainly cost the deal. Wellington Environmental found it was not mold. It was traces of asphalt from the wheels of a suitcase. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Not a yes, sir. Not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold. Have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We are very much alive! And make no mistake about it, this campaign will send Donald Trump packing. This campaign is taking off. Join us. To those folks, listen, go to joebiden.com. Sign up, volunteer, contribute if you can. We need you, we want you, and there's a place for you in this campaign.
So again, the words of former Vice President Biden last night, ecstatic because he had such a great showing. And he's on a road that some said should have been a detour a long time ago. As you might expect from inside his own campaign, you get nothing but praise, high marks on every category, check them off. The Biden deputy campaign manager, Kate Bedingfield, stating Biden made, and I'm going to quote her, one of the greatest political comebacks in modern American political history. Yeah. In other words, the comeback kid story of Bill Clinton bites the dust. And she went on to say, voters say we want results, we don't want revolution. That is a key point. That is critical to that extent. Donna Brazile, as you well know, a former interim Democrat National Committee chairwoman, who, by the way, while she was there, remember, gave every effort she could to defeat Sanders by giving Hillary questions in the debate with Trump. Of course, Sanders was already pushed aside by that point anyway, but Donna was still doing her job to make sure Sanders never surfaced again, yet he's back. And she says, as now being paid as a Fox News consultant, contributor, whatever. I wonder what she gets paid for this. But basically she said, voters went in yesterday and Super Tuesday and said, I want someone who could beat Donald Trump. They're looking for a leader of the country. That's why they chose Joe Biden. She also said, again, if you go down the checklist of all these folks that are praising Biden and where he is right now, that his victories are, quote, the most impressive 72 hours I've ever seen in U.S. politics. And she said Biden swept the South despite spending little time or money in those states. He did surge to victory in contests across the South and beyond. Bernie Sanders got a sizable win in the delegate prize of California, divvying up that map on the biggest primary season, indicating that's going to be a battle that's going to drag on for weeks yet to come. And after midnight, Biden showed to narrowly defeat Sanders in Texas, the second biggest contest of the day. At last check, Biden was ahead by maybe 3% to win a good share of the state's delegates. Biden had been courting Texas, even hosting a rally in Dallas, if you recall, Monday night. And remember, that's where he brought in former Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke, the one-time wonder child for the Democrats. He came in and endorsed Biden. And, of course, one-time rivals Pete Buttigieg also stepping up saying, I'm with Biden, as did Amy Klobuchar and several Obama administration officials. This is the establishment. This is what Bernie's running against, what he's railing against, what he's trying to revolt against. And a lot of the American public doesn't want any of these people either, but it's the devil you know versus the devil you don't. Do you really want to go down socialist trail for the Democrats out there? They don't. They do not. Many of them are capitalist in their own rights. They don't want to buy into this free-for-all everything because they know somebody has to pay for it. They're not the wide-eyed, larky little kids running around. You see most of them behind Bernie Sanders when he's speaking. I was watching Bernie make his speech last night. And he had everything to talk about. I mean, good things, obviously. And beside him are two, maybe three kids, a little girl, a little boy, maybe two boys. I couldn't tell if another one was kind of in and out. I assume they're grandkids. And that's great. I mean, get your kids up there involved. Let them take part of it and see it. And they're grandchildren. They're going to love their grandpa. They're going to love their grandpa. And, they think he set the sun in the sky every day. And that's the way it should be. I would not want to do anything to challenge a child's belief in their grandparents or parents, as long as they're not advising them to do wrong. And they're buying everything Grandpa says, and they see all this crowd, and they think this is it. But I couldn't help but look at them and wonder, where will they be 20-plus years from now? Will they still be the ones that would stand there and agree that Grandpa knew what he was talking about, that we should be a socialist country? Or will they be like many kids do? That would include you, and it's included me, as we grow up, and we think our parents don't know anything. As we get a little older, we begin to realize our parents are pretty smart after all. In this case, maybe they'll grow up and realize Grandpops wasn't right. But I'm glad he's got the kids up there. Make them part of it. Let them enjoy the excitement. It's good for kids to that extent. But I just couldn't help but retract and retrace in my mind how children willingly just kind of follow someone they love and care for without question. They're not quite as unquestioning as a dog would be, but they're right there with you, and that's good. And when their granddad is defeated and pushed aside, I hope they still praise him and are there for him to comfort him. I'm sure they will be. And that's good. But what we're seeing now is that Bernie is facing this entire establishment coming together. And it's not just the endorsement of Buttigieg and Klobuchar and O'Rourke. It's now Bloomberg dropping out, saying, I will support Biden. That means the money, all the money that he was spending on himself and his campaign will now be redirected to the Democrat coffers to help not only Vice President Biden, former Vice President Biden, but all the other Democrats that are running. That's going to be an enormous amount of money. No, he can't go directly and give all that kind of money like he did for himself, but he can set up various PAC units. There might be, I don't know, they could number 20, 30, 60. They don't, it doesn't make, there's no number of PACs that can be put together to endorse a candidate and throw money at them. Of course, they're supposed to be separate and have their own distinction, change a name, add a comma, whatever is needed to make sure they stay in that arena and that they don't go into violation of FEC, then they're going to be fine. But pollster Frank Luntz is watching all of this play out last night, and he's saying that the race for the Democrat Party's 2020 presidential nomination will go all the way to the Democratic Convention. He's no longer convinced that Bernie Sanders gets a plurality of the delegates. Now, I read you that quote, and I want you to keep that in mind because he made that statement before this morning, before Bloomberg decided, I'm out. And with Bloomberg stepping aside and endorsing Joe Biden, this is changing the entire scenario. Remember, Bloomberg got into the race only because he saw no one capable on those debate stages as he watched the debates unfold, not one of them capable of holding Donald Trump's feet to the fire, not one of them capable of taking control of things, not one of them understanding what's needed. That's why Bloomberg came rushing in with his checkbook open, jumping over the first couple of caucuses and primaries, saying, I don't need Iowa, I don't need New Hampshire, I don't need South Carolina, I'll put everything into Super Tuesday. And he did, and he got nothing. Bloomberg, with his worth of something like $64 billion, that's with a B, $64 billion, using that wealth to shake the race up as himself being a candidate at age 78. But he said, my entire intent is to defeat Donald Trump. So what did he win again yesterday? American Samoa. Captured just 44 Democrat delegates. Just 44. And those two debate performances did not help him, obviously. However, there were polls showing a big bounce for Biden ahead of Super Tuesday. We talked about this yesterday. He got the wind at his back coming out of South Carolina. He did better than many thought he was going to. And some of those late-breaking polls of Super Tuesday states were showing that Biden was making big gains following that decisive victory in South Carolina, and endorsements from others as well. All of them pointing to a path for Joe Biden. And now, of course, with the way things went down in California and Texas, they're probably will not be fully resolved before they get to the election, before the convention, I should say. And again, if you go back to the words of the political pollster Luntz, I see this going all the way to the Democrat convention. Now, I'm going to be joined a little bit later by Dr. Gerard Lomero, and I want to go over some of that with him, get his take. Does he agree with that? Is it again set in stone that it's going to be Bernie? That is exactly what Dr. Lomero had been forecasting. But James Carville, as I mentioned in the opening monologue, looking at the primary results from Super Tuesday, watching Biden surge to victory, statements made before Bloomberg dropped out saying he's going to endorse Biden. Carville at that point said, Bloomberg and Warren are not long for this world. He said, I think what we're going to be seeing is Democrats starting to ask Sanders, look, let's just don't drag this thing out any more than we have to. Well, now, that was last night. Today, we know Bloomberg is getting off the train and building an entire new train for Joe Biden and a whole new track and populating it with folks that would have been with him and Klobuchar and Buttigieg and all the others, leaving Bernie at the station. Except for one other candidate that's kind of slowly twisting in the wind, Elizabeth Warren. Where does she stand? Is she going to try to grab hold of somebody's coattail and say, take me along with you as a VP? Is she going to bail at any moment? There's some important high-level meetings going on, even as I speak, regarding her campaign. When we come back from the break, I'll give you the latest details of what we do know, and it might give you an idea of what's to come.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Yeah, looks like my director Quentin picked another great sound bite music piece going into our Elizabeth Warren story here. I will not lay down and cry, not in public. She, of course, has been one of the leading front runner candidates for months, but last night she failed to carry her home state of Massachusetts. Even worse, she placed third in the New England Commonwealth. So here's what happened today. Her campaign manager sent out an email to staffers this morning saying the campaign, well, here's what he wrote. Last night we fell well short of viability goals and projections. We are disappointed in the results. And now says the decision of what we do now is in her hands. Warren apparently spending today with her team assessing what they're going to do. Should she drop out? And then would she solidify with Bernie Sanders, adding support to him? She's pulling support from Bernie as it is right now. They're close enough in some of their beliefs. But right now they've been still going after each other. She's getting additional pressure. A progressive magazine, Jacobin, calling on her to drop out, saying you continue to run, you're just going to hurt Bernie Sanders' chances of becoming the nominee. You've already damaged him to some extent, and you continue, it's going to be worse. The magazine wrote, Joe Biden has now emerged as the Democratic establishment's choice to stop Sanders. His two major rivals on the right of the party, Klobuchar and Buttigieg, dropping out endorsing him. Biden is their champion, not against Trump, but the prospect of a progressive takeover of the party. So the magazine is saying, Elizabeth, if you don't drop out, you could hurt everything for the progressive movement, saying instead you should forge an alliance with your professional class base and the Bernie Sanders working class movement. Now, of course, would those voters actually go to Sanders, or would they just say, I'm staying home? That's to be decided when it comes to not just the various primaries, but actually when it comes to the general election. If a lot of the Bernie-like supporters feel they've been shut out once again by the Democrats, they're not likely to go vote for any of those establishment Democrats. You know what they might well do? They might well do is go in and say, revenge. I'm going in and I'm pulling the revenge lever for R, for Republican, as in Trump. They might. They might said, you know, enough of this, one way or the other. So now we have an idea, Al, for Super Tuesday of strengths and weaknesses. Things have shaken up. Bloomberg is out of the picture as far as being a candidate himself, but his money still in play. Where do we go from here? We'll take a short break. When we come back, Dr. Gerard Lamero, who had basically called Trump the winner against Hillary months before anyone else did, will join us.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Well, I started out with $1, gambled with a man and I won me another, bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys, gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, the Democrats started out with 29 candidates, and now we're down to basically two. We'll say Sanders and Biden. Elizabeth's still hanging around, as we talked about. We'll come back to that in a moment. I want to welcome back on board with us Dr. Gerard Lamero. Glad to have you on board again, sir.
Oh, it's great to be with you. Love being with you on your show.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to jump right away into something that I know you'll want to address anyway, so let me bring it up. Your predictions for Super Tuesday, you were saying at that time, most likely Bernie will be the delegate leader with wins in California, Colorado, Texas, and Massachusetts, did not work out like that. Your response?
Well, actually, what I thought, okay, was that Biden would do better among black Americans and Sanders would do better among more socialist states in general. But Biden actually outperformed what it seemed like he was able to do, which is actually kind of remarkable because his funding was light. That usually means you don't campaign as much. And in fact, in a number of states that he won on Super Tuesday, he didn't even visit, which is kind of amazing. It was almost an anti-Sanders vote among black Americans and Hispanic Americans.
That's exactly where I was going, because what we're seeing from some of the other pundits and so forth is that basically, and that's, of course, with Bloomberg dropping out today, that's one of the things he said. I only got in the race because Bernie Sanders had to be stopped. It looks like now we can do it.
Yeah, but I must say some other things, though, too, about this. One is the impact of Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren continued to run, and she's absorbing a lot of Bernie Sanders' energy, if you will. I think there were three different states, Super Tuesday states, where Bernie would have won if she were not in the race. But she continued to stay, and she was splitting off his votes. So she was actually running as a spoiler. The other thing we've got to count for these remarkable results on Super Tuesday that were sort of off the charts from what most people expected or forecast or polled was the fact that you basically had these other folks suddenly dropping out. Klobuchar, Buttigieg, and Beto O'Rourke even comes into the picture.
Right.
At the last minute, all these people coalescing around Biden. And I think what you're seeing is obviously the establishment Democrats, the Hillary Clinton's, Joe Biden's, the people have been running Washington on the Democratic side for so long. They basically said, we don't want an outsider. We're going to do everything we can to stop Bernie Sanders. But that opens up a whole nother can of worms and dynamics that are going on that we could talk about if you like.
Yeah, I want to get into that, but I also want to acknowledge that you had also pointed out that previously that Warren is a drag on Bernie. Strategy basically to stand by as his backup to gain his delegates
right.
if he falters,
right.
which he hasn't. And before you joined us, I was even reading a piece from the progressive magazine Jacobin calling on her to drop out, saying all you're doing is what we just discussed is hurting Bernie going forward when we need most of all now to have your support and your people. Do you think her people would easily walk in line behind the Bernie Sanders people?
Well, most likely they would go in that direction. Just like I figured Klobuchar leaving right before Super Tuesday would mean that Biden would pick up Minnesota. These people are pretty interchangeable in a sense because the supporters, for example, who went for Biden, the black Americans, these are people who traditionally voted as black Americans for Democrats. But there's also something going on here, too, and that is, what does that say for November? Suppose that, indeed, Biden gets nominated. Is he going to carry those same people? And the answer is no, because Trump is picking up support among black Americans like you wouldn't believe. He may pick up as many by November as 42% of black Americans.
Wow. Wow. So that is the highest. That's the highest number I've heard projected. 30 from Senator Scott of South Carolina the other day. But 42%?
Yeah, that's right. Well, there are a lot of people out there with polling numbers at 34%, but my forecast model puts it at 42%. And what's interesting is the same thing that could get Biden nominated might force him to lose later because he needs those people in November as well, not just to get nominated.
All right, to that point, before you join us, I was also talking about the Sanders supporters that once you get to the general election, if they feel they've been shut out again by the established Democrats, this time Biden with the help of Bloomberg and others, do they stay home or they go in revenge and pull that R lever for Trump?
Well, again, this is a complex election. There's a lot going on here. It's fascinating to watch. So we've got a number of things going on. One is Bernie Sanders thought he's going to pick up a lot more youth voters. He's actually picked up less this time around than 2016. The youth are not coming out for him as he thought. So that's a surprise for his folks in a remarkable way from their point of view. But there are other things going on, and that is this rift between the Democrats. Remember, the Democratic Party, fundamentally, in my view, is the San Andreas Fault that's cracking up during an 8.0 earthquake now.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And the question is, are they going to break up before the convention, during the convention, after the convention, or after the election? Well, I predict by next April 2021, the following April, okay, the Democratic Party will close their door, take the shingle off the door, and shut down as a historical party, just like the Whigs shut down.
Wow.
Okay?
You're listening to Dr. Gerard Lomero. He's made a similar forecast in the past about the Republican Party would not be your grandfather's Republican Party. It certainly isn't anymore. And you see the Democrat Party being shuttered.
Yeah, it's going to close down. There's nothing that says parties have to stay around forever. They stay around for when they serve a purpose. This Democratic Party has gone so far off the left, it's lost its constituency. It's lost the basic workers, the people who go to Cracker Barrel, for example. The people who go to Home Depot. They've lost some of their basic support. And instead, they're going for, you know, like spending their time on what pronouns do you call people?
There's 56
different genders.
Yeah.
They're focusing on issues the American people don't care about.
And to that extent, Biden's deputy campaign manager, Kate Bedingfield, and I'd quoted her earlier, was saying there are two points here. One, she said Biden just staged one of the greatest political comebacks in modern American political history. We'll discuss that in a moment. But the other point, she said, voters want results. They don't want revolution, which is what Bernie and Joe, for a while, stepping onto that stage a little bit, was also leaning that direction. So is he going to go more straight up now? We're not going to go to the left anymore.
Well, he may do that to try to position himself away from Bernie Sanders. But let's face it, the choices in the Democratic Party were, do you want a socialist light, a socialist heavier, or a socialist medium? I mean, they're all proposing socialist policies.
Right.
Take away your guns, it's okay to have infanticide. You know, if the abortion fails and the baby still lives, well, maybe you can't help it. You know, it's up to the mother and the doctor if you help treat the baby. That's called infanticide. You know, I mean, they're taking extreme positions that the American people just don't line up with. Biden's win was primarily because the establishment of the Democratic Party, the old school Democrats, don't want to see the party go. They've been quite happy to run it for decades, and they wanted to succeed. And basically, they pulled out all stops to get everybody to support Biden at the last minute, having people drop out of the race.
I wonder about the behind-the-scenes talk of promises and to be offered and then met. I want to spend the last minute or so on Bloomberg, the impact of him pulling out, but his money is still going to be in play.
Well, I think his money's always going to be in play. He said that he helped to pick congressmen, and you know that when you have a lot of money, you can donate a lot of money. But you know what? Oftentimes, I've seen over the last 20, 30, 40 years that people with a lot of money, spending a lot of money, don't necessarily win elections because it's also a turnoff. At some point, it's a turnoff from voters. They don't want people to buy elections. They want to support people.
But in this case,
in this case,
it won't be in his name. It'll be in various PACs that he's funding.
Sure. Yeah, it's indirect, right? No, there's no question he's going to fund an establishment person. By the way, we're talking about a two-person race, Bernie Sanders versus Joe Biden. Let me tell you something that's really a third possibility, and that is Joe Biden is nothing more than the establishment Democrats putting a placeholder in place that they're going to swap him out for somebody else at the convention.
Now that kind of intrigue. In 20 seconds, you want to kind of give me an idea, a whiff of
absolutely.
Sip? Okay.
Michelle Obama.
That's what I was. That's
Barack
what I was
Obama ask. did not endorse Joe Biden.
He still hasn't,
because he may still want his wife there. And we also have the possibility that John Kerry's doing a lot of Secretary of Stating off the charts that he shouldn't be on. We also have Hillary Clinton and her machine that wants to get back in, even though she won't admit it officially.
All right.
We have three or four people that are happy to fill in the placeholder if Biden creates one too many gaffes.
You've set the stage for us, Dr. Lamero. I appreciate it. We will certainly have you back to go down that trail a little deeper. Thanks
Sounds
again.
Great.
Thanks again. Dr. Gerard Lamero, his latest book out, Real World Socialism. Real World Socialism. So what if you got an endorsement you don't really like? Biden got one.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, of course, Joe Biden welcomes endorsements, and now he's got Bloomberg. Bloomberg saying, I'm no longer going to continue to run. I'm going to endorse Joe Biden, but my money will still be in play. And Biden's got the support and endorsement already of former Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke, Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, and others all lining up. And he got one endorsement that they don't want. Here's what happened. An endorsement was tweeted out. Voted in the first Democrat primary, support party dedicated to restoring values in the White House. I agree with Amy Klobuchar. We need a candidate who cares about all Americans and will restore decency, dignity to the office. There's a reason that Trump fears Joe Biden and roots for Bernie. Biden 2020. The endorsement came from someone that the Biden campaign, once they look closer at it and realize who sent it, they sent out a tweet. Their rapid response director immediately rejected the endorsement, put out a tweet saying, yes, customer service, I just received a package that I very much did not order. How can I return it free of charge? Who are they turning their back on? Who are they saying, I don't want your endorsement? James Comey, former FBI director under the Obama-Biden administration, fired by Trump in May 2017. James Comey just put it out there. I voted and I'm supporting Joe Biden. And Biden's people were saying, thank you, but no thank you. Whoa, you talk about in your face. Now, you've got a lot of folks who are convinced that Trump has to be defeated for one reason or another. A lot of them are talking fear. They like to wave the fear card around and racism card. We're going to get into that more in the second hour. But I'm looking at a piece for Variety by Barbara Streisand. Great entertainer, great voice. And she can have her view about politics. We can have a disagreement. But here's what she wrote. And by the way, let's begin with her thoughts about Comey. She said she was upset when Trump fired Comey for refusing to pledge loyalty to him. You know, you read that and you think that Trump was telling Comey, his FBI director, I want you loyal to me, not the United States of America, just me. That's not at all what was going on. What he was saying is, if you're going to be my FBI director, I want to know, are you going to be loyal to me and what we're trying to do? Or are you going to be backstabbing me all the time? And I could ask the same question to Barbara Streisand. Barbara Streisand, would you hire anyone, be a housekeeper, a chef, a chauffeur, that would not be loyal to you? That would be go out spreading rumors and stories about you? Of course not. Of course you're going to demand loyalty. But every time that comes up, the wackos out there want you to think it meant you're going to forgive everything you know in your oath of office regarding this nation, and you're giving it all to me. That's not at all what was intended. But Barbara Streisand, on her comment, her column, Why Trump Must Be Defeated in 2020. She begins by saying, yes, Mr. Trump, let's make America great again. But first, let's get one thing straight. America was great before you were elected. Well, what was the black unemployment rate before Trump was elected? What was the overall unemployment rate? The unemployment rate for women? The wages? The stock market? Really? Yeah, you know the answer, and so do I. But Barbara Streisand, like many of these in the left, especially Hollywood elite, think because they've won Oscars or Emmys and because they're on the big screen and they've raked in all of your money for their entertainment to have homes all around the world, not just in the U.S., and yet this country is the one that really made them the richest, they can complain and complain, and their voice should be louder than yours because you're just common people, you out there. And so she finished up her statement. We need a new America without pollution. We need to deal with pollution around the world, not just here. And I'll guarantee you, she's got her own private jet that pollutes a lot more than your car going down the highway every day of the week. And she said, we need a new America without obscenities, without insults. Maybe she should address those terms to the other Hollywood elite like Jim Carrey and Michael Moore and even congresswomen like Omar, saying, F Trump. We're going to F impeach him, so forth and so on. That kind of obscenity and insult is acceptable? You really want America to be great again, Barbara? How about looking in to the problems in your own backyard? No, Democrats are not going to do that. They'd rather wave the wand and point to you and say you are the problem, not them. I think we should recognize we might all have a part in it. I'd be willing to, but you're not going to see the left do it. So in the next hour, we're going to get into how racism is still alive, as blacks call other blacks Uncle Tom, and how the fear factor is increasing because Dems have no other way but to shout fear.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.